coming to you from the top of the SmartWorks Tower. Nestled between the massage parlor and donut shop in beautiful downtown Red Bluff, it's the PenPals.Buzz podcast. Need a genuine connection? This is the place to learn how a pen pal can change your life. And, oh yeah, they just happen to be in prison. But Big Steve will never judge. He's open-minded, he's a little quirky, and he's ready for another adventure. So get your postage stamps, grab a pen and paper, and get comfy for 30 minutes of pen pal pleasure. Now, here's your host, Big Steve.
I'm here. I promised you I would be here every Monday, and I'm actually a little bit early this week. I'm about 6 hours early right now. We're recording this because we're going to have a celebration tonight. We've got a major milestone. Talk about that in a little while. But my wife, she wanted me to help clean around the kitchen and the bathroom. And I said, I'd love to, baby. I really would. I'd love to help, but I need to celebrate this major milestone on the PenPals.Buzz podcast. And I can't be celebrating during the week. I normally would record the show on Monday, but I can't be here on Monday at the office with people around me drinking at work, right? Because then they're going to want to drink. And while I could probably handle it and work perfectly adequately with a couple of drinks in me, I don't want my whole staff showing up drunk to work, right? So I said, I'm going to sneak in here Sunday. I'm going to do this. I'm going to share. This is Ace Pineapple Craft Cider, which is freaking phenomenal. If you've never had it, I recommend it. I'm going to have a sip. Welcome, everybody. It's so great to be here. We've got a big milestone we're going to talk about. We're welcoming a new audience, people that learned about PenPals.Buzz on the worldwide syndicated radio show called Sunday Night Slow Jams with an amazing host. The guy's name's R-Dub. So let me just briefly, for the new people that heard us on the Sunday Night Slow Jam show and you're coming to the site for the first time and you're thinking, what the hell is this? Prison, pen pal, what the heck is that? Let me just tell you a little bit about what we do. And then we're going to get into today's topic, which I find especially interesting. We're going to talk about the origins and the history of pen palling in general. Where did the word come from? When did it start being used as a word? We're going to talk about some famous pen pals that you might not know about and all sorts of cool things about the history, which I find enlightening, and I'll tell you more here in a second. We have hundreds of inmates from all around the United States. We've got women, we've got men, all ethnicities, all ages. I believe the oldest is somewhere in his mid to late 70s. We've got people that are 18, 19. Everything you can imagine is right here on penpals.buzz. You're thinking, I want to write to one of these inmates, and why would you want to do that? We cover this a little bit more detailed in our very first podcast. So if you want to go back and really figure out why you'd even want to be doing this, you can. But in general, it's good for so many reasons. And the one that's the most striking to me is that only 2% of prison inmates right now have a pen pal. Yet those that do have a pen pal, they're 6 times less likely to reoffend when they get released. That's an incredible number, and it's backed by science. They always say, show us the science. We have studies from several different countries that show about these same numbers, 6 times less likely to reoffend when they're released. And 95% of all inmates ultimately get released. So we don't want them reoffending. But I think more, maybe even more important than that, is it gives inmates a sense of purpose. It gives them back some self-esteem that they've probably lost. It gives them a constructive way to process a lot of the things they're feeling. There's a lot of shame. There's a lot of guilt, humiliation, sadness, fear, and all of these feelings. Otherwise, they get brought out as anger. As psychiatrists will always say, anger is a secondary emotion. So when they're holding all this stuff in, they become angrier and angrier. And that's not what we want when they get released, to have this angry guy coming out just pissed off at the world. We don't want that. It also just gives them a sense of purpose, something to look forward to. Knowing that someone out there cares about them, knowing that maybe their family forgot about them, maybe their husband or wife just said, screw this guy, screw this girl, she doesn't deserve me, maybe the kids don't talk to them anymore. A lot of these guys have nobody. And so just being that special light in their life, it means more than what you might realize. And here's the other thing people overlook. There are so many benefits for you writing to an inmate as well. And people might hear that and they think, yeah, right. Benefits for me? What are you talking about? But the truth is, when you come onto the site to look for an inmate pen pal, so many people have lives that they're not 100% happy with. I'm not saying you don't have a good life, but a lot of people come onto the site because there's something missing. I can't say what it is, but it could be a relationship that's not great. They could be frustrated with work. They're not feeling fulfilled at their job. Maybe the kids have moved out of the house. Maybe somebody died that was close to them in their life and they're trying to process some of that grief. Maybe they can't afford to go to a therapist. They don't want to pay $400 a month just to talk to someone that says, oh, really? That must be hard. Maybe they could pay, but they'd rather not. Being able to write to an inmate gives people an incredible sense of freedom because you can actually tell them what the hell you really think. You can tell them how you feel about life, how you feel about yourself. These are things you can't tell in general, at least here in the United States. You know, we're not good at being vulnerable. We're not good at telling parents that we're depressed or that we're sad or that we have this addiction or that we did something really bad last week. We keep this stuff inside, right? You don't want to tell your friends, you know, whatever it is you did. Maybe you tell them a few things. You don't tell them everything. Maybe your best friend, your closest friend. Maybe some people do. I'm sure they do. But for a lot of us, myself included, I'm not going to tell the people that are in my life every day my deepest, darkest secrets because I don't want to feel judged. I don't want to feel inferior or awkward or feel like maybe they won't be my friend anymore if I tell them this. And that happens so often. But with inmates, you can tell them anything. And they're not going to judge you, and you know that, right? Because look where they are, look where you are. So they will understand everything that is going on in your head. And they'll listen, and you know that they're going to care because they're excited to get your mail. Gives them something to look forward to. They're going to connect with you on ways that people in the free world don't, just by the nature of the situation that they're in. Maybe you have an alcohol problem, a drug problem, right? Maybe you have an anger problem. You can tell inmates this and they're going to be there to listen. When I was locked up many years ago, I had a 19-year-old college student named Lauren who was writing to me, and she had this shoplifting problem, but she didn't want to tell her friends. She didn't want to tell her family. She was ashamed of it. She couldn't afford therapy. She didn't know how to stop. But she was able to talk through things with me and tell me all of her situation, and it made her feel so much better. And I think this was just able to help her see things in a different way. So when you're on our website, you can browse through all the different profiles and find the people that you think would be interesting to write. And then there's usually three options. There's a mailing address, the old-fashioned pen pal method, which is still my personal favorite, and I wish more people still did this. And that's one of the things we're going to talk about when we go into the history of pen pals, which goes back about 100 years. We'll talk about all of that. Option two is find out what email messaging system their prison uses. There's several out there. Some of the more popular ones are SecurusTech.net, JPay.com. You may have heard some of these. It could be anywhere from 5 cents to 50 cents per message you send. I'd say average is around a quarter per email message, and you can write to them that way. That's option two. Option three is a free option for you. It's a little more limited, but you can actually send a message to the inmate through our website here at penpals.buzz. Include your name, your mailing address, email address, anything that you'd like to include to the inmate. We usually like it to be, you know, one or two paragraphs at the most. And then we will print those and forward them to the inmate, or we will also sometimes send them through their email messaging system if the prison allows us to do so. So there's three ways you can get in touch with the inmates, and then they will ultimately get back to you. And you can start what could be an incredible friendship, maybe a relationship down the road. You never know what's going to happen. Somebody once said, without strangers, there would never be friends, because everyone you've met in your life at one point was a stranger. And I think that's kind of amazing when you think about that. It's so simple, but it's amazing to me. It blows my mind. I know a lot of people that listen to Sunday Night Slow Jams, and they have a weekday version too, slowjams.com. I'll tell you the info about that. But a lot of people have loved ones that are incarcerated, and they do their dedications. They call them oral expressions to the incarcerated loved ones. So if that's you, you yourself can submit a profile for your incarcerated loved one and get them some new pen pals. It's really cool. We provide better customer service than any of these other prison pen pal sites, and I'm proud of that. That's one of the things that really sets us apart, that people are really loving. We get back to everybody within 48 hours, and they're used to waiting like months. Really, they're used to waiting months, and they're hearing from us in 48 hours. It's kind of like ordering from an infomercial back in the 90s versus ordering from Amazon today, when you're used to waiting 4 to 6 weeks, and all of a sudden you get your package tomorrow. So we're very proud of that, and we have affordable pricing plans. We start at just $15 for 6 months for the basic plan, and most people go with what we call the gold plan. It's $45 for a year. I mean, that's less than $4 a month, and you're going to get some amazing pen pals for your loved one, and it's just going to make their time in there so much better. We also have a lifetime plan. It's the best deal around for anybody doing hard time. I mean, if you're going to be there more than a few years, $95 lifetime plan is good for their entire incarceration, all the way up till the release date. When you're on the website, depending on whether you're on a phone or a desktop or a laptop, you'll find a link that says add an inmate. You might also find one that says pricing plans. And from there, all you do is register, and then you'll see the different options, the different pricing options. You can order it right there on the website, enter the profile info, upload the photos. Just takes a few minutes. It'll be done. We'll process it on our end within just a few hours, and they'll be up and running. So really, really cool. I recommend doing it. Of course I recommend it because I run this company. But even if I didn't, even if I was just some random guy drinking pineapple cider in the middle of Red Bluff, California on a Sunday, I would still, I promise you, I would recommend this. I think it's a great thing for you. I think it's great for them. And I think it's great for society because we're reducing recidivism. It makes them feel good. It makes you feel good. So I was visiting a friend in Napa just a couple weeks ago. And we went out for breakfast, and we're trying to decide what to do. And she says, why don't we go to the Snoopy Museum? And I was like, what the Snoopy Museum? What the hell is that? And we looked it up. Turns out it's actually called the Charles Schulz Museum. It's in Santa Rosa, California. It was about an hour drive from where she lived. We go to this museum, and I've never been like a huge Peanuts kind of guy. And, you know, I've seen the comic strip, and I've obviously heard of Snoopy. And I didn't know much about it, so I didn't know what to expect. But we're looking through a lot of the displays, and they had some of the very early comics all the way through when he finally retired. I see this amazing thing where Charlie Brown is writing to something he calls a pencil pal. And I look up at more of the comic strip, and he's been trying to write his pen pal, but his fountain pen just doesn't work right. He can't get it to work, and he's trying, and he's failing. And so finally he writes instead and says, dear pencil pal, instead of dear pen pal. And that was his very first letter, and it made me think, where, I wonder, did the term pen pal and the idea of pen paling come from? Where did it originate? You'd think, you know, I'm running this prison pen pal business. I hear about pen pal news every day of my life. I live this, I dream this, I eat, drink, and sleep this. So I did some research, and I found out that before they were called a pen pal, the term pen friend was actually the first term used, and that started in 1919. And it didn't become a pen pal until 1931. And now a lot of people use the terms interchangeably, but what you're going to hear primarily is going to be pen pal at this point. Now, people have been writing to each other ever since, you know, the invention of something to write with and the invention of paper. But pen pals are a little bit different, and they're actually defined by dictionary.com as a person with whom one keeps up an exchange of letters, usually someone too far away, so a personal meeting is unlikely. Pen pals are people who regularly write to each other, particularly via postal mail, but they're usually strangers whose relationship is based primarily or even solely on their exchange of letters. So a pen pal wouldn't be like you and your brother writing a letter. Pen pal wouldn't be, you know, your ex-girlfriend writing to you once a week or once a month. A pen pal is usually someone you've never met in your life, and your sole connection or your primary connection is just the letters that you're exchanging through the mail. The term pen pal was added to the Oxford English Dictionary way back in 1931. So we're talking about almost 100 years ago. And how did people find pen pals before the internet? Well, it was back in the good old days, as we would say. People would go into newspapers and magazines, and they would pay money to post short profiles, almost like a classified ad, and contact people with similar interests. They'd say, hi, my name's Bob, I like stamp collecting, and I'm really interested in bugs. So if there's any bug lovers, please write to me at this address, the end. Shortly after this, schools began encouraging their students to write to pen pals, and often these pen pals were from other countries. I remember doing this in the early 80s when I was in elementary school, and we were writing to a bunch of kids that were in Japan. Kind of the goal of this all was to learn more about their culture and have them learn about our culture, what's similar, what's different. We could start to learn language. We could learn Japanese to the best we could through their letters. And it was really, really interesting. I remember at the end of the school year, they sent us a video, which we called a video postcard. And this is something unheard of in the 80s. I mean, people didn't even really have VCRs. But we got this video from these kids in Japan at the school we were writing. And it was just so cool at that point to see them in person. It was like actually unbelievable at that point in my life. So what they called the student letter exchange, this actually started in 1936. So just 5 years after the term pen pal really came to be. Now, other organizations besides just schools were promoting pen pals back, many years ago. 1964, 1965, at the World's Fair in New York, Parker Pen, the pen company. This is really, really interesting. I could hardly believe this, but the World's Fair was out in 1964, 1965, and it was known at the time. You know, they had an elaborate display of America's movement into the space age. So this World's Fair, 60 years ago, had futuristic exhibits and modern advancements, and Parker Pen came onto the scene here at this fair, and they were promoting this new amazing computer that they had in what they called the Parker Pen Pavilion. Now, this computer would match pen pals using this strange new technology, like an algorithm, right? So people were lining up at the fair to enter their information into this Parker Pen Pavilion computer, and they would get matched, and they'd say, okay, you're going to be writing Mary Jones of 582 something street in Allentown, Pennsylvania, wherever it was. You've seen pen pals on television. For those of you that watched Pee-wee Herman and the Pee-wee's Playhouse back in the day, they would often receive letters from pen pals on the show. There was another 70s children's TV show called Big Blue Marble, and they would invite viewers to write in to get pen pals. This was in the 1970s, so kids would be writing into the show and getting matched with pen pals. And one of the reasons, besides looking at the Schultz Museum, but one of the things that I really was curious how pen pals came to be is because when I tell older people, they say, what do you do? And I say, I run a prison pen pal website. First, they don't know what, huh? You do what? But usually their response is, oh man, that's like the good old days. They feel this sense of nostalgia. They used to have a pen pal back in the 60s or the 70s. And it brings these feelings of joy and happiness. And their feelings that they experienced in a much simpler time, and I would argue in many ways a better time, where you didn't have so many distractions, right? You didn't have text messaging. You didn't have notifications on your phone. All these things that are diluting your mind and your brain. And I think the idea of just sitting down and taking 30 minutes or an hour out of your day at the end of the day, the beginning of the day, and just focusing solely on writing a letter to your pen pal is just amazing. And I'm hoping that through the course of having penpals.buzz and as we get more and more users on the site, I'm hoping more people will ultimately realize how cool this actually is. There are so few companies now that do anything at all like this. I mean, this Parker Pen thing, we're talking 60 years ago. Pee-wee's Playhouse, we're talking, what, 70s, 80s? We're talking 40 years ago or more. Nobody really focuses now on taking a step back, taking a deep breath, relaxing, trying something the old-fashioned way. And the thing is, like, people that do a lot of the newer pen pals, the younger people these days, they think, oh, it's a pen pal. I can do text. I can text. I can text my pen pal, or I can email my pen pal, or we can Skype. But you know as well as I do when you're texting someone or even when you're emailing, you're doing that as you're watching Netflix. You're doing that in between the steps of the dinner you're cooking, maybe after you mash the potatoes, before you stir the butter in, whatever it may be. You're sending a quick sentence or two. Maybe you're in the car and you've just parked at the grocery store and you have like 30 seconds and you're like, oh, I'm going to send them a little message. But it's just completely different what you get out of that versus if you're able to actually sit down for... It doesn't have to be a long time. It could be 15 minutes. But if you can give your undivided attention for that 15 minutes and really focus on, okay, let me see what my pen pal wrote me. What questions did they have? They asked me, why do I get carnitas instead of carne asada? whatever it might be, and you have time to actually answer that. You like how it gets crispy on the outside and it's moist in the middle. You like how you can squeeze the lime over the carnitas and it gives it that extra tang. Whatever the question is, and that's a silly one, you have time to actually focus and explain and get to know them. I feel like the deep connection is really, really, really what I'd like to be striving for, what I'd like everyone to strive for, because otherwise this is just going to become one of many things that we have going on in a world of multitasking, in a world of computer screens, in a world of texting, and just not the same. I don't think it's the same. So I thought it would be interesting to share famous pen pals that wrote each other over the years. And the first one that jumped out at me was actress Carrie Mulligan and Mumford & Sons frontman Marcus Mumford. Now, they first became pen pals at the age of 12. They met briefly at a Christian holiday camp, and that's when they exchanged their addresses and stayed in touch by writing each other letters via the church, so they would forward the letters back and forth to the kids. Now, they reunited in 2011. Then they had a brief 9-month romantic courtship before ultimately marrying in April 2012. They've got two kids together now and live on a farm. And I thought that was amazing. So they started writing letters. They hardly knew each other. They just met briefly and then wrote letters. So I guess technically, under the Oxford Dictionary definition, it wouldn't technically count as a pen pal because they weren't complete strangers, but I think it's pretty close. Now, Catherine the Great and Voltaire, we're going back a little bit. Catherine the Great was a leader who ruled Russia for over 3 decades, and Voltaire, the French philosopher. Now, they wrote to each other for over 15 years, but had never met in person. Voltaire actually referred to Catherine as being the Star of the North. It was even rumored that he had her portrait hung in his bedroom at one point. 15 years of writing letters, never met. Another one I found really, really interesting, Tony Danza, the actor from Who's the Boss, started a pen pal correspondence with rapper Tupac Shakur when he was incarcerated in the mid-90s. They exchanged letters about role models and life, and Tupac actually thanked Tony Danza for being one of the few that actually understood him. The pair ended up meeting shortly before Tupac's murder in 1996. Now, what are the greatest examples of literary pen pals? J.R.R. Tolkien and C.S. Lewis were correspondents for several years. They bonded due to shared love of mythology, Christianity, and writing. And these authors exchanged thoughts and ideas about each other's projects, with Tolkien writing Lord of the Rings trilogy at the time, and C.S. Lewis was writing Chronicles of Narnia. So, like, they helped each other professionally and grew a surprising friendship through just writing letters. Bonding over a shared love for cigars, cats, and terrible jokes, Groucho Marx and T.S. Eliot, another surprising famous pen pal pairing. Eliot was the 1948 winner of the Nobel Prize in Literature, and huge in the 20th century. And he contacted Groucho Marx for a signed portrait. And that's how their correspondence began in 1961. They wrote letters for 3 years before finally meeting in person. And I found a heartwarming and super cool story about the world's oldest pen pals. They both recently turned 100 years old, and they've been writing each other letters across the pond for 80 years. Incredible. His name is Jeff Banks. He's from England, and she's an American, Celesta Byrne. She's from New Jersey. They started writing in 1938. They were just 16 years old in 1938, and they became pen pals. And how were they paired? Well, it was by one of those educational projects. They sought to connect British and American students. 84 years later, they're still writing, and they're both 100 years old, which is miraculous in and of itself, that they both lived to be older than Betty White, which I thought was impossible. Jeff told a news reporter, "Somehow I ended up with this letter from an American girl, and we just kept writing ever since." I don't know why he has a southern accent, but I just gave this English guy a southern accent. He was an engineer, and they kept in touch during World War II while he was serving as a mechanic on the British aircraft carrier HMS Illustrious in the Pacific. They met for the first time just about 20 years ago in New York City. Jeff was 80. I guess they both were 80. Over all those years, they never once became romantic, even after Jeff's wife passed away 11 years ago. She said, "No, we're just friends, like people who live next door to each other." And sometimes when you get so close to someone, when you know them so well, maybe it's hard to be romantic, because you know all the things you don't like about them, too. Now, Jeff's still in England, and Celesta has been living in Texas for a while, and they Zoom with one another and occasionally still write letters, but it's just more difficult because the fingers don't bend as well as they used to. Just a great story. I love the story. So when you're on penpals.buzz and you're writing to your pen pal, don't just think of it as an unusual hobby or just something fun to do in your spare time. But imagine this person, maybe they get out of prison in a few years, or maybe they don't. But imagine the two of you could be friends for a lifetime. This is somebody you could share decades with. Without strangers, there would never be friends. So just think about that when you're writing your letter. Great things can happen. I met my wife on a pen pal site, so I'm living proof. I'm walking, living, breathing proof that really, really good things can happen if you just put yourself out there. And if it doesn't work, if something doesn't go well, that's okay too. You can just, move on. You're not committed. You're not putting a ring on it. So it gives you a lot of flexibility and freedom. We would love to hear from you. You can call us anytime. 888-2-PENPAL is our telephone number. That's 888-273-6725. You can also email podcast@penpals.buzz if you would like to be on the show in the future, if you have ideas for things we should talk about. Maybe you have a loved one that's locked up and they have some ideas they'd like to share with us. We can interview them over the phone. We can get them on a future episode. We'd really love to hear from you. Today, the inmate spotlight is a guy named Gordon Grills. Gordon Grills, which is G-R-I-L-Z. Now, he's 73 years old now. He's been locked up for 43 years. But what's even more interesting to me is his background and his education. He graduated with a Bachelor of Science in English back in 1972, and then he went on to get his master's degree. Between 1973 and the time he got arrested in 1981, he was a professor of English and humanities at three different universities, including Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. And he got arrested in 1981 for what he calls a crime of passion. Ultimately, I can define that for you as coming home and you find your wife in bed with another man and you flip out. And I'm not saying that's a good thing to do, but I'm saying it's, for some people, understandable why something like this might have happened. So he killed his wife and he killed the guy that was in bed with his wife. And he's been in prison ever since. So he's now 73. And it's really sad to me because on the website, if you look at his profile, you can see they're all pictures of him from prison, all pictures after he was locked up. And you see one, he looks so young. And then you see the most recent one he just sent us. It's just sad to see someone that had all that potential, someone that had so much education, and he's been stuck in there for 43 years. It's sad to see the progression of his age in the photos on our website. But he's made the most of his time in there. He's participated in all kinds of writing workshops inside of the prison. Just a spectacular poet. You can read one of his poems at the bottom of his profile. He's had poems published in dozens of literary journals and magazines. And he won an award in 2003 for the PEN Prison Writing Awards, first place for poetry in 2003. Also, while he was locked up, he obtained a Master of Ministry in Christian Counseling. He graduated magna cum laude from there, and he's planning to be ordained if he's ever released, which I hope he is, but I'm doubting that he will be. But he credits his Christian faith for helping him endure and make it through these 43 years. And more power to him. That's fantastic. He's just looking for anybody. He seems to really like people from Europe. So if you're Austrian, Sweden, Norwegian, Denmark, Finnish, Canada, Minnesota, he says. I don't know. So I guess that's sort of Scandinavian, right, in Minnesota. But he would love to write to anybody. And I think no matter your age or gender or what you're looking for, this doesn't have to be a romance. But this is going to be a heck of a pen pal. This is a guy that can write intelligent letters, well-written letters, somebody very smart. I think he'd be a great guy to get to know, to exchange letters with, to learn from each other. I would write him if I had more time. I'm very busy, but I would write him if I could. And go onto his page and look at his poetry. He has a poem called Reunion. I don't even like poetry, but I think it's good. That's Gordon Grills, 042972, ASPC Santa Rita Unit. That's P.O. Box 24401, and that's Tucson, Arizona, 85734. ASPC Santa Rita Unit, P.O. Box 24401, Tucson, Arizona, 85734. You can write to Gordon Grills and maybe make yourself a new friend, a 73-year-old guy that's been there for 43 freaking years. It's been a pleasure, and again, welcome to everyone that's come over from the Sunday Night Slow Jams. We appreciate having you here. Get out there, enjoy this warm summer weather. Can't wait to be back here with you.
It's lockdown time for Big Steve, but he'll be back Monday with another edition of the PenPals.Buzz podcast. To be a guest on our show, email podcast@penpals.buzz or call 888-2-PENPAL. PenPals.Buzz is a division of Snaptura Inmate Services.